Amen, amen. Good morning, everyone. My name is Matthew. Many of you guys know I'm married to Jean. I'm also Malume to little Jeddo, wherever he is this morning. There he is. I obviously lead a comm as well. I'm a deacon in the congregation. But something that you guys might not know as well is I obviously work full-time. I actually have a job outside of this. I kind of sometimes see it like my job is like my side hustle to church life, but I do have a job. I'm an architect, and I actually run a company with Simon. The two of us run an architecture firm. I do a lot of the finances for that, actually. And even at home, I'm the one who does all the budgeting. I actually appreciate my own Excel skills. Jean is actually an accountant, so she thinks my Excel skills are like 5-year-old level. But for me, it seems to work and everything happens. So all that to say that finance is really a part of my daily life, of how I look after my family, of how we do our business stuff together, me and Simon. Doesn't mean I've got a lot of money. It just means I work with money all the time. And so what I'm going to be sharing on today is actually on serving God, not money, and why that is something that is really important. I'm just putting on my timer so that I don't go too long. I'm serving the Lord, and that's what we're going to be aiming for today. That's what I'm going to be sharing on. And why I think that this is important is because in the world that we live in today, there's so many different things that are pulling us in different directions, and we are fed a culture that teaches us to hustle and to do what you can to just amass more, but there is a better way. Let's go to that very first slide over there. You've probably heard this being said before, money is the root of all evil, okay? People say that sometimes, money is the root of all evil. It's kind of from the Bible, but it's not actually the whole saying. The whole saying is from 1 Timothy 6:10, and it says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." And what I want to pick out of that is that money itself is actually just a tool. It's something that we use. The problem that comes in, where the evil comes out, is very often our hearts, how we are approaching money, how we are stewarding it, what we're doing with it, what it brings out of us. It's us that's the problem. So I would go as far as to say it's not actually about how much money you have, but it's how much money has you. Okay, so you can be not have a lot of money at all, but it's what your whole life is about. Or you can have a huge amount of money, and it's actually not something that's important to you like that. It hasn't grabbed your heart. In Luke 16:13, okay, it says, "No servant can serve two masters." This is Jesus speaking. "For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Why would he choose money of all things to say that you can't serve? I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that vie for our attention, but specifically money, he's saying you can't serve both. Now, I just have to say, I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures today because actually the Bible talks a lot about money. Jesus spoke a lot about money. And so we're going to go through a whole bunch of them. This is obviously starting, and I'm going to take a bunch of them and put them in their proper context. Often we just hear like the one-liner, like you can't serve God and money. But there's more context to that, actually, what Jesus is speaking about. And so we're going to let the Bible speak for itself today about what it says about all these things. And I would encourage you, even after this, to take note of when the Bible's talking about it and how is my relationship with money. This is really what this morning is about. This is not like a there's a lot of wisdom in Scripture about how to manage your finances. This is not what this is about. This is about how to have the right relationship with money in your life, that who you are serving is God, that money is a tool for you, but it's not the thing that you're serving, okay? Money is an amazing tool. It's a terrible, terrible master, actually, and that's really what all this is about. So if you go to that next slide, something that I want to say is that you cannot use God to serve your money, okay? Now, in around the world, something that we often have to battle with as well is this idea of something called the prosperity gospel, okay? This idea that like, okay, I'm going to come to God so that he can bless me financially, okay? That's a real thing. People actually preach about that, you know? And that's why a lot of people even get a really bad taste in their mouth when the church talks about money, because they're like, oh no, you just want us to give because the pastor wants to get a new blah, 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 BMW, who knows what, okay? And the guys will sell this dream of like, give and God's going to give all these amazing things to you. And actually, the Bible talks about this. The Bible talks about people who preach about that. Let's go to 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 to 5. Now, this is Paul speaking, actually about specifically about this and about people who teach that this is, you know, this is what godliness is about. He says, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he's puffed up with conceit and understands nothing, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. This is financial gain that they're talking about. So he's saying, if you're out here preaching, come to God and he's going to bless you financially. The dude, he doesn't know what he's talking about, actually. And even that word, he's imagining that godliness is a means of gain. That's not actually what Scripture says. That's not what the Bible says. It goes on, and Paul says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Now, here's that scripture we read earlier in context. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. I love that way that it says it pierced themselves with many pangs. A pang is like that like sharp feeling of pain that you have in your heart. And that's actually when you're serving money, that is actually what becomes of your life. It creates destruction in families. If all you're doing is like you just work, you just want to earn more, you're not thinking about wife or kids or any of these things. Destructive in the workplace as well, where guys are just jostling and vying and trying to be the guy on top just to get more money. It is senseless and it is harmful to ourselves and to other people, that kind of greed and that running after that thing. And that's what serving money actually looks like. And so I'm trying to point us away from that and point us towards a much better master. So in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, so let's put money in its right place. Let's put it in the kind of relationship we're supposed to have with it as a tool. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Now, you might take that as three neat categories. Okay, I must love God with this, this, and this. But actually, basically what it's saying is love God with everything, every part of you, okay? And I think oftentimes money does get in our hearts, but otherwise it's in our mind of how we are taking care of things. But it's actually how we manage our finances is part of our worship to God, and because it's a part of our life. And the way that I often think about it is that we are stewarding our finances. To steward means to take care of something. You know, like in Scripture, it says you're giving your body to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Like, my body is not my own. It belongs to the Lord. I'm going to live the way that God wants me to live. If it's even my body, if it's even this, it's definitely going to go across to my finances as well. Of course, I'm going to bring God into how I'm doing my finances. The way that I often consider it is that I'm stewarding my money. Okay, it's the money that's been given to me by the Lord. He's my provider, and I'm taking care of it as if it's actually His. It's His money, and I'm going to give an account to Him for how I have been taking care of the money that He's given me. Right? Because if everything that I am belongs to the Lord, that actually includes my bank balance as well. A couple more scriptures that we often hear out of context: for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. These are two beautiful scriptures, but taking them into a little bit more context, it's actually one whole thing that Jesus was speaking about. It's from Luke chapter 12, and it goes into a lot more detail, which I think is quite amazing. So Luke 12, verse 22 to 32. Now, Jesus is speaking here to an agricultural society, mostly, where people are, they're literally growing their own food. They're making their own clothes. So it was a big concern for people, like, if I don't put my attention on making these things happen, I'm not going to have these things. But actually, it applies, strangely enough, I think a lot to the Cape Town context. I'm going to read a little bit of Cape Town context into this. And he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, where you will get your sourdough, nor about your body, how good the fit is. Okay? For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the UCT pigeons. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor barns, and yet God feeds them. Sometimes from your lunch, even. Of how much more value are you than the UCT pigeons? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? This, a lot of times in the Bible, this is headed with the cure for anxiety. I don't think it's really about that, but this is part of it. If you're anxious, it's because, you know, seeking after money being the thing. So really what Jesus is sharing here is about putting your focus on the right thing, which is on God. It continues, if then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory, richest man ever, right? Even him in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things. And your Father knows that you need him, that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. So that's really what it's putting in context here, is God is giving us space and provision to seek first the kingdom while he provides for us and provides for all the needs that we actually have. Okay? So he's giving us space to go, actually, the main thing in my life is going to be Jesus. And he's going to take care of the rest. Obviously, that has practical outworkings. But it continues. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants you to have it. He wants you to have all that God has promised you. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. This is why I say shouldn't be titled The Cure for Anxiety, because that made some of you anxious right there. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So it's a whole refocus now. I don't have to worry about building up some whole big portfolio here and all the big financial this and this and this. Actually, I can put my focus on the Lord, and he's going to take care of all my needs and all of those things that I have to actually live. And when your treasure is those precious things of God, is those precious things of eternity, that actually can't be stolen. Bank balances can go, okay? Scammers are out here. They're doing crazy things. People can lose family fortunes in an instant, okay? We can't actually rely on that stuff. I know of a story of someone losing everything that you think, so much money, nothing could ever happen, all gone. All of it. Like, we actually can't rely on those things. We have to rely on the Lord. And God's saying, yeah, you can. You can rely on me. I'm going to provide for you so that you can do that. So money is a tool, but interestingly, money is also a test. Okay, it's a test of our character. It's a test of who we are as people. This is Jesus speaking. And again, this is another scripture that we read a little bit out of context earlier. Here's some more context to it. Luke 16:10-13, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So, if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? For no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And interestingly, one of the qualifications for eldership is that you're not a lover of money and that you manage your household well. So I think here, whoever can be trusted with little can be trusted with much. I think sometimes we read that of a thing of like, okay, if I take care of a little bit of money that God gives me, he's going to give me more. But he goes on saying, if you've not been trustworthy with handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And what's most precious to God? It's actually people at the end of the day, right? So weirdly enough, the way that we handle our finances, the way that we do all of that, is also a bit of a test for, can God trust us with things that are more precious to him? If you can be trusted with this little salary that you're getting every month, or big salary that you're getting every month, can I give you that which is actually precious to me, which is people? And that's at the end of the day what leadership in the church is. It's taking care of God's people here in the church. So I want to unpack a couple of things on how to use your money for God. And these things are not like you have to be doing these all the time. But if any of these are really difficult for you, you might find that there's maybe something wrong in your relationship with money, and maybe it needs to put its place, be put back in its place. Because a lot of these sort of things will flow out of a relationship with God and flow out of a place of, God, I love you. You're my everything. And this money that I've got, I'm going to use it however you want me to, because this is yours just like the rest of me is yours. So first up is tithing. I'm not actually going to do a whole unpacking about like how the Bible says we should tithe and why. We do as a church believe that tithing is a New Testament principle and something that we do. If you've got more questions about that, we can have more of a chat about it. But actually, I want to pick out some of the other principles about tithing that I think is relevant here. Obviously, what it is, it's a 10% of your income before tax. But for me, tithing is it's an act of faith, right? It's an act of faith and obedience of, this is something God wants me to do. But when I'm tithing, it's a recognition, number one, that God is my provider, okay? And actually that all that I have comes from him and is his. So this 10% that I'm giving is recognizing that, yeah, God, this is yours, but actually all of it is yours. And that's the faith that you come with tithing. It's not this duty thing of like, you're first the tax man, then the church, you know? Actually, no, this is an act of faith. And getting into that, a regular habit of tithing, actually prepares you for whatever else God wants to do with you. If you're battling to tithe, you're not going to get into any more that God's got for you, actually. And it is a gift to be able to be generous and to give, and I'm going to talk about that now. But guys, if you're not getting to that, you're not going to get to the rest. So anyway, that's just what I want to say about tithing. Step out in it. It is an act of faith. It is an act of obedience. And it blesses the Lord and actually blesses the church that we all benefit from, right? Next up is faithfulness with faith. Okay? So finances are actually limited. It's not something I would say to plan. It is something to plan carefully, but actually it's something that you should plan prayerfully. How am I going to spend my money? What I've got, how can I do the best with it for what God wants me to do? Because it's limited. Like we were talking about earlier, it is a bit of a test. We need to be faithful with what God has given us. So this is not about how much money you have. It's about what you're given. How are you taking care of that? Okay. Sometimes we also need to sacrifice things. If you think about like this Bloom Outreach is coming up, okay? People want to maybe go on the Bloom Outreach. You know what? It's going to cost money to go. It's going to cost money. You got to put in the petrol. You're going to get food while you're there. You're not paying for accommodation, but there's a whole bunch of other stuff. It's like that with any outreach. We're going to the UK later this year, a whole bunch of people. And you know what? We've been planning since like March or Feb or something like that. Because there's visas that have to be bought. There's plane tickets that have to be bought, okay? We're going there. It's pounds. Rands versus pounds. We are always, it's like, like, want to buy a water, you're like, this water's like 80 rand for like a whatever, I don't even know. It's really, really expensive, and there's money that has to be put aside for that, okay? Now, I think sometimes when it comes to outreaches, we've heard the stories about people like, yo, I had no money, and then I got given money at like the last second, and I got to go on this outreach, and we almost like presume, like, okay, cool, like, maybe God's going to do that for me as well. So we carry on living our life, we gallivant, we do all the things that we want to do without actually doing those little faithful things to, I'm going to actually adjust my lifestyle here. I'm going to cut back on this. I'm going to do that so that I can take this money that the Lord has already given me and go and bless other people. Outreaches is not a holiday. It's to go and bless the church, right? And to steward your money, to take the time to sit down and budget, okay, is an act of faith. Sometimes we think that act of faith is to do all the big stuff and to step up and, oh, I did this whole thing. It is. But also, it's to take care of your money every day, to do the best with what God has already actually given you. There's often a context to those stories. I think like Jean, she actually once got sent to Malawi, the whole ticket paid for her, and she got the money like the day before. But if you look at the context of what had happened, at that point in Jean's life as well, she had to make a choice between financial security and following Jesus, okay? There were some decisions she had to make. It had a whole bunch of issues with other people. And so she had to move out of her house. She was in this dingy little flat. She had no money. And the outreach came up, and she was like, I really feel faith to go. but I've got nothing. God provided for her in that moment because he was showing her, I am your provider. It's not anyone else. I'm your provider, you know. And so that is coming now from a place of faith, you know. So it's not you must have money to go on outreach, but is this coming from a place of faith? Or are we acting out of a place of like, God's just going to provide. He's just going to do it, you know. So I'm not going to take care of my own stuff really. No, we want to do our acts of faith in the big and the small and taking care of those things. Hey, then a lifestyle of generosity. So this is a very interesting scripture from Leviticus 23. It says, when you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop. Leave it for the poor and for the foreigners living among you. The way someone, in some of the translations, it doesn't say along the edges of your field, it says the corner, the corners of your field. And so someone had used this image once before where, you know, you've got your field. If the outside square is what you've got, you draw a circle inside it, and that's what you're taking care of. And then the outside corners are actually what you're setting aside for the poor. And what I want to pull out of that is that living a lifestyle of generosity actually takes a bit of planning. It takes you living within your means. So if you get like an increase at work, is it like, yes, this is amazing. Now I can get all the extra clothes that I want to get. Now I can get all the... We often do that, right? As our income increases, so does our lifestyle. That's the kind of the Cape Town thing, isn't it? I think in Joburg, serving money looks like how many zeros you've got in your bank account. But in Cape Town, it's more about like lifestyle, that you look like you're rich, you know? You're drinking out of a cup with a very specific a logo on it, you know? Or the clothes you're wearing or whatever. I must say, honestly, I grew up in the suburbs. When I moved into the city, me and Jean were going like, Japers, like, what are we doing wrong? Like, everyone is, they're so like... And look, granted, there are some really wealthy people in Cape Town, but I also came to realize after a while, people just make really bad financial decisions, and they're like in debt, and they're doing all these things, and yeah, you got the car, but like the rest of everything is, you know, eating noodles and only that, not even with a microwave, like, you know, so that's often just something that I've noticed about Cape Town. But instead of just increasing our lifestyle, that with what we've got, we live within our means, and we budget to be generous, right, as the opportunity arises. And there are often opportunities. Sometimes somebody gets sick. It's like, oh, I'll come bring you some medicine. Or, you know, people need meals for something. Someone's just had a baby or something. Some big crisis has happened in their life, and cool, let's go look out for them. Or taking, you know, lifts, driving people around. Did you know that it costs money to drive a car? Okay, so like the students, you guys getting lifts, like people are sacrificing to bring you to church, you know, that's a beautiful thing. And so people actually have to budget for that. Even sometimes just to bless other people, you know, it's if you've got made room for it in your budget because you've put your lifestyle into a place where I'm taking care of all of my needs and I'm putting something left over for someone else, then that's I think the place, that's a very good place to be with the Lord. I love the scripture from Proverbs 11:24. It says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. And it really has been my experience that as I've given, God has given me more. And there's a reason why, and we'll get to that now. But first, what I want to say is that we want to give within the safety of family first. I've noticed that some people are very empathetic, right? And they can see a person, and they can see the person's need, and they're like, oh, you know, it's. I often have it with Jean, actually, because she loves people, and she sees them, she sees their needs, so we can drive past someone on the road, and she's just like, oh my goodness, that person, you know? And there's a lot of people who've got a heart like that, and that heart is a beautiful thing. But also, that heart can be taken advantage of. And not all people who are in need are always... have everyone else's best interests in mind. And when you're giving within the safety of family and within the safety of church, we're actually accountable to one another. So I've seen situations that have gone badly where, you know, maybe people had like a consistent need and other people were helping out. And then the elders actually realized, hey, where this person's at, what they don't actually need money to help them with groceries, the problem with their circumstances is that they need to change their circumstances. They need to do their work. They need to do whatever. And so within that, there's discipleship to be able to help people to get to what they actually need, right? So if you're giving within the safety of family, there's covering. We're accountable to each other. We know. And sometimes there are real crises and situations that come up. And in that situation, we can give and we can be generous and we can look out for one another. And where I've got more and you've got less, yeah, now God is, he's giving you through me, you know. That's a beautiful opportunity. But sometimes out in the world, we don't really know, like, even a lot of these NGOs and, like, charitable organizations, sometimes you don't really know what's really going on. I've heard some horror stories from Malawi, but I won't go into those. So giving by grace. Did you guys know that giving is actually a grace gift, like prophesying or whatever? Giving is actually is a gift as well. There was a specific situation that Paul was speaking about in two different letters here, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, talking about a collection that they were doing for the saints in Jerusalem. They were in a situation. They needed money, and so the rest of the churches were putting things together to try and help look out for their needs. So I want to pull a couple of things out of what giving looks like, New Testament giving, from these two scriptures. So from 1 Corinthians 16, now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. And then in 2 Corinthians, it continues, the point is this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make every grace overflow to you so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. As it is written, he distributed freely. He gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will also provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for all generosity, which produces thanksgiving to God through us. I encourage you to read 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 especially. Is one of my favorite passages about generosity and giving. But what we can pull out of this is that our giving should be regular. From 1 Corinthians 16, on the first day of every week, each one of you set aside a sum of money. So it's something that we are intentional about. We're budgeting for it. And then it goes on to say, in keeping with your income. So it's something that's proportionate, okay? So the dude who's earning, whatever, 100,000 rand a month is going to be very different from the student who's maybe just tutoring and getting what they can on the side here. It's proportionate to where you're actually at. And then, of course, it's also free. Each person should do as they have decided in their heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion. No one can come to you and say, you got to give. It's something for you that I want to give. I'm going to give out of what God has given me. Then, like I said earlier, like as I've given, God has given me more. I think that's because a generous heart can be trusted with more, since God's actually your first love, right? So it says, God is able to make every grace overflow to you so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work, and you will be enriched in every way for all generosity. So God gives you more to help you to be more generous, okay? So now we're talking about what prosperity gospel stuff was earlier. It's give so that you can get. That's having a transactional relationship with God. Come and throw all your offerings at the front, and God is going to double everything that you've got, okay? That's not actually why God is giving you more. God will give you more because he knows that your heart is his, and he can trust you to do what he would do with that money. Okay, that's actually how it works. So it's not self-centered, it's not transactional, or giving to get. A couple of other little things. Matthew 6, 3 to 4, giving should be in secret. It's not something that you parade and you lord around. That's why you often don't know who the people who have the giving gift are. And sometimes God will give you faith to go above and beyond what is wise. Okay, so we need to do our finances with wisdom. But sometimes we got to just apply a little bit of faith and have that conversation when you like, are we really going to do this? It's going to cost us this much to do this or to do this outreach or to help this person. Are we doing this? Yeah, are we doing this? To have those scary conversations. A situation like that was in 2 Corinthians. this was the same situation for the church in Jerusalem that Paul was talking about. So Paul was saying, we want you to know about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, so that's in proportion, and beyond their means, of their own accord. So it was what their heart wanted to do, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. So Paul probably had to say to them, guys, don't. You need this for yourself. And they're begging him, no, please. We want to. We want to actually do this. But they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. So that's how you handle your finances. God, I am yours first, and then we can give it to whatever needs we need. Okay, so as I was discussing this with Jean, she was saying, you know, it would probably be a good idea to talk about like working people and students, because some people have a lot, some people have a little. But I think the fact of the matter is that there are some students who have a lot more than some working professionals, and there are some working professionals who don't really have much at all, okay? So what I'm going to say is for those with little and for those with much, okay? Giving is actually, it's actually for all of us, and God meets us where we're at, and we can be faithful with God with what we have. It's not about the amount. So in 2 Corinthians 8:12, it says, for if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what they don't have. So if you don't have a lot, but you've got a heart to give, find where those opportunities are. Sometimes it's, you know what, I'm going to put aside just a little bit of money to like get someone a coffee somewhere, or give a little bit of money to someone for a lift or whatever, whatever, okay? I've just seen God's heart for that, that it's not actually about the amounts. If we go to Mark 12, 41 to 44, this is where Jesus was actually in the treasury watching as people came to give their offerings. He said, sitting across from the temple treasury, he watched how the crowd dropped money into the treasury. Many rich people were putting in large sums. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two tiny coins worth very little. Summoning his disciples, he said to them, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. For they all gave out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. There was a collection that that went for Luke and Zundi a little while ago, just to bless them and say, guys, thank you so much for everything that you have done for us. We're a dramatic congregation. We know we give you guys gray hairs. Thank you. We love you. You know, just to, it was like a free will. Like, if you guys want to contribute, let's do it. There were some large amounts that came in, but someone sent in, it was like 27 Rand or something like that. And that was like, I think whoever that person was, I really think Jesus saw that. We obviously don't know. This is all completely anonymous. But it's like that same thing. This woman come. This is all I've got. But that almost like, I think that touches the Lord's heart. You know, I don't know why I'm getting so emotional. But I think that is God's heart. That if we've got the heart to give, that we can ask Him, God, I wanna do this, and let Him do that. Give ourselves towards that. Okay, for those who have much, I'm not sure why that picture is there specifically. First Timothy 6, 17 to 19. This is just what the Bible, I'm just reading you guys what the Bible says, okay? It says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty. Another translation says, command them. This is what the Bible's telling you. It's not me, it's not the Bible, okay? Not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Okay, not just our needs, God also gives us things to enjoy. They ought to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. And I think if you have been like blessed financially with your life, in your life, it's kind of like if you have a bucky, you've got the gift of serving. It's not actually a question. You will be that guy. I think if God has really set you up financially, He's giving you grace to actually be someone who can be generous, who can look out for the needs for others, who can do wonderful things for other people. There's opportunity to do that. And when you're having a good relationship with God and He's your everything, these opportunities are going to come up and we can take them. And maybe you didn't realize that you could do that. And you can. Certain professions more than others. So I'm going to draw to a close there. And really the heart of what we're sharing here is to actually serve God, that he is a good master. And money is a terrible, terrible master to serve. It's going to send you down all sorts of paths of distraction and pain. But if you serve the Lord, you can use that money in its right place, that it's something that is a blessing to you, is a blessing to other people. And so I'm actually keen for us to respond quickly. So why don't we all just close our eyes? So I'm gonna bring out two responses here. And the first one would be for those who maybe have just been in the world and have been serving money. That, like, this is all that I knew. This is the lie that the world fed me. And I've just been trying to go for the next paycheck and to get more money. And to, like, it's been your God. It's been what you're serving. That today is actually a time to turn towards God. Turn towards the good master who loves you, who cares for you, who is actually your provider at the end of the day. This is really the reason why God actually sent Jesus in the first place, was so that he could wash us away from all that sin, all the things that we sought instead of him, and bring us into right relationship with God. And from there, we can walk with him in holiness and in love. And so if this is resonating with you, this whole thing of, I've been serving money, but I want to turn and I want to serve God, then I want to give you an opportunity to respond, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. But I want to add another group into that. If you think you have been serving God, but you've maybe been in church and you had that idea of like, whoa, I thought God was out here for my financial prosperity. I thought that God was just looking out for my bank balance and my house and my car and doubling everything that I've got. Actually, this is a response for you as well, to not use God to serve your money, but to serve God with everything. So if you're one of those two, that you want to actually turn, I want to serve God with my whole life, I want to come to him, I want to ask you to respond to that. So if that is you, I just want to ask you to raise your hand. And we're going to have a couple of people who can maybe come and pray with you as well. So is that anyone? Okay. Thanks. Okay, yeah. I see a couple of hands. Okay. I'm gonna pray a prayer that we can maybe all pray together. And then if someone close by to you just raised their hand, there was a couple over here. Just come around that person and pray for them. Maybe some of the leaders or comm leaders could come and do that. So let's just pray. You can just pray after me. Lord Jesus, I turn away from money and I turn to you. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that he died for my sins. Yeah. Thank you that I can serve God. Father, I give my life to you. Send your Holy Spirit. Fill me, change my life, that I can walk with you all of my days. In Jesus' name I pray. Cool. So if that was you, I would really encourage you, just let's get some guys around and pray for those guys who raised their hands. But let's also have some conversations afterwards. Speak to whoever you came with, whoever's a friend of yours here, and say, "Yeah, that was actually me today. I turned away, and now I'm giving my life to Jesus, and I'm gonna live with him." Second thing is actually for us who've been following Jesus for a while, and maybe like I actually want to put money in its right place in my life. I want to steward my money the way that God stewards it. I want to be generous the way that God wants me to be generous. I want to be faithful the way that God wants me to be faithful. If one of those things has been resonating with you today, then let's stand and we can pray together on that as well.